Okay, we're ready to go. So I'm sitting in the home of Sheldon Silverman, who has agreed to speak to me. You know that I'm on the board of directors of Harbor Village.
Yes.
And we are collecting information about the history of our neighborhood.
Yeah.
So that's what this is about. I'd like to just start by asking you to tell me how long you have been living. Give us your address, please, Sheldon Silverman, and how long you've lived.
I live at 157 Major Street. We moved in on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 1997. When we moved in here, we moved from a very large home on 96 Walmer Road in the Annex. We had three children, and our two oldest had moved away by the time we decided to scale down and move. And our home was obviously too big on Walmer Road. It had 11 rooms, three stories, and very expensive, so we decided to downsize. Len, my wife, is a real estate agent, and I said to her, we better start looking for a smaller home. And one day she said to me, oh, there's a house at 157 Major Street, your old street where you grew up on,
wow,
for sale. And so Len took me to 157 Major Street, which at that time was owned by Christina Innes, whose husband was a member of Parliament for Liberals, Tony Iano's home, and Christina, who's a lawyer, had three or four children and a nanny, and his house was too small for them. They were upsizing, and we were downsizing. They ended up moving to Kendall Avenue, next street over from Walmer Road, to a big home. And so we bought this home. It's a semi-detached, old Victorian home, which we love very much. It was fairly well renovated when we purchased it. The major renovation we did was knock out a wall and built a fireplace, rebuilt the two sisters, also purchased 85 Walmer Road directly across the road, which was a heritage home. And some years, well, we rented it out, it was a 5-unit home. And one day there was a small fire with some problem with the fireplace on the second floor apartment, which had a wood mantelpiece, beautiful hand-carved wood mantelpiece. And so we were forced to remove that mantelpiece and build a brick type of fireplace mantelpiece. However, we had a double brick garage on Walmer Road, and we put that mantelpiece in our garage and kept it for years. When we moved to Major Street, we had it remodeled. We had knocked down the wall and put it in. And that is a heritage part of our home. The other part of our home, and let me start where I come back to the beginning of Major Street. I grew up on Major Street in 1941. My parents moved from 87 McCall Street, where I was born, to 24 Major Street. They purchased that home for $1,500. It was a three-story home, semi-detached. I have a picture of it. I lived in that house from 1941 to 1957. I went to Lansdowne Public School, and after that I went to Harvard Collegiate. We moved after fourth year high school, but I continued going to finish my grade 13 at Harvard Collegiate. I love Major Street. One of the characteristics is I'm Jewish, and I would say about 80% of the people around me were Jewish. We were close to Kensington. I remember my mother, we kept kosher. My mother was a kosher fanatic. And I remember as a child going down from 24 Major Street to Augusta, Kensington, and my mother buying a chicken and going behind the chicken store and having it slaughtered according to religious law. And I remember my mother buying live carp and swimming in the bathtub and made gefilte fish out of it for
and
Friday.
This is all from Kensington Market.
Kensington Market.
Yeah.
And I remember Kensington very well. And I remember as a child growing up, going through the laneway. We lived almost very close to the lane that led directly to Lansdowne Public School. And it was a variety store just beside the lane on Robert Street.
Yeah.
And it was very close. It must have taken me about a minute to get to school. It was an old school. It wasn't called Lord Lansdowne then. It was an old full of cockroaches, I remember, especially in the washroom. And the people there mostly were Jewish. I grew up in a tremendously Jewish environment. My closest friends were Jewish. My closest friends are friends from kindergarten.
Now you mean
even
still.
Now they're Whoa. Both doctors. We were accelerated. We were put in after grade 3. I was put in the accelerated class 4, 5, and 6, and 2 years later 3. And my closest friends were also with me. They're brilliant doctors. They went to Harvard Collegiate. And the nicest people I know, and most brilliant, one in particular is so smart. One is a silver medal winner in medicine, also, and the other one's even smarter. But I used to very, very, very bright people around me, from Major Street and Brunswick Street.
So these people came from fairly modest beginnings.
Yes, yes. My father, there's a terrific love story here. My mother came to Canada in 1929. She's about 18 or 19 years old. Her father, my grandfather, had died. And her mother, my grandmother, remarried a widower with children.
And where did they come from?
It came from Poland. Uh-huh. My mother came from a little village called Drills in Poland, Stetel. And I don't know what happened. According to my older sister, who knows everything. My mother, maybe she was sexually harassed by stepbrothers or something. Anyhow, she was in love with my father. But my great uncles came to Canada, Toronto, in 1905, the Wassermans. And they brought my mother to Canada in 1929. My mother worked in a Jewish restaurant on Queen Street as a waitress. Eventually, she made enough money to bring my father over in 1933. They were married on August 6, 1933.
Well, they didn't waste any time.
Yeah. And so that's how, and I was born in 1940, 7 years later. My sister was born exactly a year later, August 6, 1934. My father and mother knew how to time the baby girls anyhow. My younger sister was born October the 11th, 1941.
Whoa.
Exactly, and my mother's born October the 11th. I don't know exactly what year she was born. She never told the truth about when she was born. We grew up, when we came to Major Street, I was 1 year old. My earliest memory is listening on radio to Foster Hewitt, hockey night in Canada, playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. He shoots, he scores. It's one of my earliest memories. Another early memory is my parents packing boxes for my uncle in Paris and his family, who survived the Holocaust by being in Vichy, France, in the south of France, under false passports. And after the Second World War, Europe, they weren't in really good, in the food way, you know. They were still suffering lack of food. So we, and other goodies. So I remember as a child watching my parents pack food in cardboard boxes, big cardboard, and send them off to Paris to help my uncle and his families.
Do you know what prompted your family to choose this neighborhood?
Well, they didn't need any products. It's such a Jewish area.
Uh-huh.
This was natural. Just going here was such a natural thing. This was the area of Judaism around Kensington, north of Kensington. It was the Jewish area. And
So you were here you were born in 40, moved here in 41.
That's right.
And lived here until when again?
1957, 16 years.
Okay, so I would love to, a lot of our discussion today, and now you're back, which is quite wonderful.
40 years later.
yeah. But, so when you came back, as you said, you were downsizing. But was there also an appeal to be back in this neighborhood?
Oh, I loved it. I grabbed onto it immediately because I'd only ever left it psychologically. When my parents, around the late 50s, a lot of Jewish people were moving up north. My father was a shoemaker when he came to Canada. But I'll tell you what he did later on. But anyhow, my parents looked to move north like most of the Jewish people in this area in the late 50s and early 60s. And they bought a house on Hillmont Avenue, a fairly new home, It was a two-story home. Right now, it's two houses next to the Spadina Expressway, but at that time, Spadina Expressway didn't exist. And so they bought quite a nice home. And however, I hated it because I went to Harvard to finish my grade 13. I had to take about three or four. We were quite a distance from Bath. I took the Glencairn bus, yeah, another bus, and it took me a while to get back. Went up to Harvard Cleveland. I used to walk there from Major Street. And so I hated when my parents moved up north. I didn't like it at all.
What do you think it meant to them to be moving up north?
Well, it was a typical Jewish nouveau riche sort of thing,
yeah,
to do.
Success,
and be with the crowd. By that time, and no, my father, I don't think my parents were that well off at that time, but they started, my father got into real estate. And he became the foreman of Francine Footwear Company. And through my great uncle, he got involved in real estate speculation, buying old houses, renovating them, refinancing them, and selling them. So gradually, he got wealthier and left the shoe business and became an independent entrepreneur.
So for him, getting out of the it was like getting out of the shtetl, and
yeah,
that was a measure of success.
Oh, yeah.
And for you, your heart and soul were always here.
That's
in
right.
This neighborhood.
Yes, partly. And also, you needed a car for everything. And my father didn't drive, but I learned how to drive before my father, and I got my driver's license. I remember we were still on Major Street, I believe, and I learned to drive on Major Street when I was 16 years old, and my father didn't know how to drive. Then he bought a big Mercury car, and I think around the same time we moved up to Hillmount. And I drove. My father didn't know how to drive. He learned later on, terrible driver. So I did driving in the family. A great big Mercury with no. It had power brakes, but not power steering. So every time you touch the brakes, you can be careful. And I learned to drive on Major Street. Now, why I hated when my parents moved north. I was married very, very young.
How old were you?
At 20. I entered U of T Law School when I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah, I got my Bachelor of Arts degree when I was 21 years old, because you're ahead. I was in the top third of my class. And I entered University of Toronto Law School, the very first class to ever enter U of T Law School on campus. We had a class of about 100 in first year law, and this was pre-LSAT. After first year, they failed one-third of the class, or they dropped out these kids, and we were left with about 65 students left, among whom came from that class was our Prime Minister Paul Martin,
ooh,
Foreign Minister Bill Graham,
whoa,
and Mayor of Toronto John Sewell.
Oh, my God.
All male, no females.
Yeah,
none at all.
Right. That's
none.
A
year ahead of me were none. When I entered the first year U of T Law School, was just being built, and they didn't have distinguished between men's and women's. They didn't have put the signs up yet. I entered the women's washroom unknowingly because there weren't no signs, but it didn't matter. There were no women. No women in law school the year ahead of me, and my year, I think four came in the year behind me. So going back to Major Street, when I got married in 1963 in August, we moved immediately downtown and rented an apartment on Bernard and St. George Street so I could walk to my third year of law school. And Elaine was working. My wife, Elaine, worked as a teller at a bank, I think on Avenue Road in Blue, if I remember.
But you have always been
my
a
heart.
Downtown person.
Yeah, I'm a downtown person.
Let me come back to when you lived here with your family. Tell me, who lived here? Was it just your family? Were there some other people? How many people lived here when you lived on Major Street?
Well, at 24 Major Street, it was a 10-room house. And I have two sisters and one brother.
Uh-huh.
And but we also rented. My parents were poor then. And we rented out most of the second floor to people named Schuster. The son was in the Canadian Air Force. I don't know his first name, but he was in the Canadian Air Force. And Schuster found rented out part of it. I think I lived in one of the bedrooms, or my sister did. Eventually, and they rented out the third floor and part of the second floor. When I was a little kid, I remember, I think we only occupied the first floor.
So, do a little math for me. How many, at the maximum, how many people were living at 24 Major Street.
At the maximum. And maybe 12, because my own family is six. I have three siblings. My father is six.
Right.
Maybe another up to eight. And the Schuster family, I think they had four, and then there were three on the third floor.
Wow. How many bathrooms?
We had one on the second floor and one in the basement, but only one bathtub, no shower.
So you were 12 of you living
yeah,
there?
One, at yeah, at the maximum, probably, around 12.
Yeah. And at some point, did your family take over the whole house, or
yeah,
did your family
always? Yeah, I think so. And towards the end, around 1957, I don't think there were any tenants anymore.
But that's
I know I ended up living on the third floor.
Right, but that was very close to the time that you
left.
Up
yeah,
to
I don't think there were any tenants when we the time we left.
So you were a lot of people living under this roof
yeah,
for most
of
that time.
Yeah.
And that helped out your father pay the $1,500 mortgage.
Well, rent, well, I don't know what the mortgage was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it helped a lot renting it out. All the tenants, I think, were Jewish. One was well known. His name was Karl Marx, not the Karl Marx,
yeah.
And his wife was May Marx. They're Jewish, and he had the same name as Karl Marx. He was a very good capitalist. He got rich, and they're both dead now, but he became a capitalist, not a communist. I don't think ever was.
You mentioned several times that there were a lot of Jewish people.
Was there?
Were there other, from what you recall, were there other children in the neighborhood or families and in your school from other?
Yes. There was this black family, the Marshall family. The Marshall family, black, somewhere on Major Street.
Uh-huh.
The two sons, one was George Marshall, the other one was Wally Marshall. Now, Wally Marshall must have liked me, protected me against the fights of other kids, and we got along well. His brother George was shot dead robbing on college, some dental place. I don't know what he's trying to steal from. He was shot, I think, by the police, and he died.
Oh,
he was a criminal. Now, going back to Wally Marshall, last time I saw him, I was a prosperous lawyer. And drive Mercedes-Benz 280S. And I had my car washed at Spadina in college, just south of college. And I had a flashlight, I had a magnetic flashlight underneath the dashboard. And I was having my car washed and probably wearing my three-piece lawyer suit. And Wally Marshall was there, one of the car washers.
Oh, my God.
And here I'm a lawyer and drive Mercedes-Benz, and he's my car washer. And then they're gone through the whitely water part of it, and then they wipe it at the end.
Yeah.
But when I looked underneath my dashboard, my flashlight was missing. Someone had stolen it. So I motioned to Wally Marshall to come over to me, and I said to him, "Hi," reintroduced myself to him. Remember me? I said, "Someone took my flashlight. Can you get it back for me?" He did.
And what was it like for you and for him after so many years, and you had been equals and he had protected
yeah,
you?
I don't know. It's strange, I guess. I don't know. I felt... he helped me again.
Yeah,
I'm
right,
grateful
right,
to him. I've never
right,
seen him since. I don't know if I would recognize him now.
And any other ethnic groups that you can remember at that time?
Yes. Leo Panasek. He lived on Brunswick Avenue. Panasek, I don't know, he lived, maybe in Polish background, probably. I remember playing baseball. I like playing sports in the Lansdowne Public School, and once he was at bat, I was at bat or he was at bat, we swung, and either he or I were by the bat. And almost knocked unconscious. And
you were not.
I can't remember who was. Either
one of
I
you was knocked unconscious.
Yeah, and Leo Pat, we got along well. We got along well with the non-Jews. I had no anti-Semitic. I never had an anti-Semitic matter on Major Street. The first time I ever encountered or felt it, believe it or not, when I was looking for an articling job as a lawyer. I had just graduated from U of T Law School. I graduated in 1964. Then I articled at Osgoode Hall 64-65. After I was looking for an articling job, so big shot lawyer that I am, I went to the largest law firm in Canada at that time, at Blake Castle Graydon. And I ended up looking for articling students, and I felt they were condescending to me. I was wearing my three-piece suit, looking very lawyer-like, and pinstripe suit. And they showed me their one Jewish lawyer. And I didn't feel comfortable there. I felt I was being condescended as a Jew. First time. Not anti-Semitic, but just being talked down to, which I wasn't used to. And that was the first time as a Jew I felt something I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't take the job there. I was hired by some connection the way. One of my cousins married a lawyer. And when he was a young lawyer, he articled for another non-Jewish firm. The firm is called Keith, Ganong, Monty, and Keith. Keith and Ganong, Donald Keith was a general in the Second World War, and Ganong was also in the Canadian Army. Both of them were Army buddies who went afterward and went to Osgoode Hall and became lawyers. And they were very pro-Jewish, may they seem. And so they hired me and my ex-partner, Alan Posner, as law students, and we were treated well. So I've had very little experience, no experience of anti-Semitism on Main Street at all, because most of them were Jewish people.
And what percentage of the children at Lansdowne, or Lord Lansdowne, were Jewish?
Those days were not called Lord Lansdowne.
It was Lansdowne.
I would say, I can't tell, but I would say maybe 75% were Jewish, but I really don't know. I remember one of the top students, Gloria Orris, and she was not Jewish. I don't know what nationality she was. They were often ethnic. There weren't that many Anglo-Saxons, I don't think.
Yeah, yes.
They were often ethnic.
But it was harmonious, I think.
We got along well. I don't remember any racially motivated fights being at Lansdowne or at Harvard Collegiate. I have no memory of any racial at all, ethnic, or we got along well.
Did your family belong to a synagogue?
Oh, that's interesting. My mother came from the little village of Drilled. There were three synagogues at the corner of Ulster and Markham in the 1940s and 50s.
Wow.
One was called the Drilger Synagogue, with my mother's Drilger. And the Drilger Synagogue was there. That's where we went. That's where I had my bar mitzvah. The Drilger Society still exists. It's probably the oldest continuous society, maybe a Jewish society. In Canada, in fact, we took our granddaughter, who's 4 years old, Sequoia, for the Hanukkah party at the Jewish Society. It's still not there. The synagogue's gone, but the Drilgis Society exists. It used to be called the Young Men's Drilgis Society, but they're all dead by now, I think. But the children and grandchildren have carried on the Drilgis Society. And I am a member of the Drilgis. I pay $150 membership due. And so it continues on since the 1920s, I think. My great aunts were involved, and my great uncles, as I said, they came to Canada in 1905.
You form strong connections. I mean, you feel a connection to this neighborhood.
Very much so.
And this Drilger Society.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very connected. Yes, and my friends all from here. My friends came from this area, and I still have my same friends that I have.
Right.
Since kindergarten.
Were there other shuls around here that you can recall?
Oh, yeah. Well, I said there were three at Ulster Mark, and one was the Rishon. There were three. Now, there's only one left, and I don't know what, I think it's called the Dr. Joe Greenberg.
It's called the Sheret Tzedek and Joe Greenberg. Greenberg's, yes,
yeah.
He has certainly
yeah,
kept
he
it afloat.
Yeah, he seems around. Well, David Greenberg's my doctor.
Oh, really? That's
so
his
I'm still,
son.
Yeah, yeah, son yeah. David is my doctor.
Was he your doctor? Was Dr. Joe your doctor?
No, he wasn't. No, yeah. No, he was never my doctor. I had moved up north, and
yeah, right.
A client of mine, actually my doctor, Arnold Claren, was my doctor. I was his lawyer for years until he died young.
And what about churches? Were there churches in the neighborhood?
Church?
Yeah. Were there churches that you can recall in the neighborhood?
Oh, certainly. It brings back incident. Well, the churches, yeah, the ones that are here now. There was one still there. I think it's a Korean church. Across the road from Lansdowne on Robert Street is a little church.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know what it is now, but I remember sort of a classmate of mine, his name was Larry Reisman. I wasn't close to him at all, and I thought I was stupid. I remember walking with him one day, and he sees a church, and he spits. You know, the reverse of, you know, he's Jewish, and, you know, he thought Christianity in church. So I remember that incident. He just brought back memories of him, but he never did well in school. I don't know where he ended up. I didn't like what he did, even then. I thought it was disgraceful. Yeah, there are churches, but yes, I was told one of my, who's a lawyer, and his name is Sheldon Robbins, and we went to school together, Lansdowne, but he reminded me that, and I forgot this, that we went to nursery school together, Knox Church, I think it's at Harvard and Spadina. In nursery school, we were classmates at Knox Church. I had forgotten that. I was 4 years old.
And that church is still there.
It's still there. Yeah, we went there as a child. I went, you know, as a nursery school kid.
Were you, and now in retrospect, are you aware of class structure that existed?
No, not at all. I had no sense of elitism of anyone.
Yeah.
We're all equals as far as I know. I never felt anyone putting on airs or anything.
Now, you've been on Major now, and what changes do you see on Major?
Oh, huge. Well, we moved back, as I said, on Valentine's Day, February 14, 1997. At that time, there were
two... So how many years was that from the time you left?
Well, exactly 40 years later.
Oh, my God. That's
well,
great.
Well, not the day, but 40 years later.
Oh, I'd love to hear
40
the changes.
Years later, I mean, with that. So the biggest change, there were only two old Jewish people left on the street that I know. It was 80, well, maybe 90% Jewish when I was a kid. The two Jewish people who were left, one is still there, Morton Greenberg, who's the brother of Dr. Joe Greenberg. He was born and raised in the house, I forget the address, it's 90-something, maybe 97 Major Street. The other person who lived across the road from me at 24 Major Street, she lived down, she still lived, but she died about 7-8 years ago. I just forget her name now. Nettie something. Kriegman was her name. Kriegman. Nettie Kriegman. She died. She's an old widow and mother.
From a neighborhood that was 75% Jewish, and there were just a few.
When we moved in 1997. Now, what has happened is it's become gentrified. The prices of these homes are $600,000-$700,000. There are a fair amount of Jewish people here now, professionals. There are about 6 or 7 lawyers from Harvard down to Ulster. One is a woman, Leslie Mendelson, who comes to Winnipeg. She's a lawyer for the City of Toronto. Another is a Crown attorney. I don't know her name. Another lawyer further down, I know her very well, is her last name is Katzman, W. Katzman. Worked for Play Castles, great. another lawyer, she may be retired now. Another lawyer is the head of B'nai B'rith Council.
Oh,
is Marvin Kerr, is a very nice man. His wife is a psychiatrist. So we have a lot of, and then there's another across the road, people moved in who are Jewish also, who I think father comes from Calgary, but that you get situations where parents help out their professional children buying these fairly expensive homes. There's one up the street, a dentist moved in. His father was my dentist one time on Carr. He's a dentist, and his wife, and they have 2 kids. They bought a home. I don't know what they paid for it.
Do you have any awareness of who was here in those years that you were gone, the 40 years that you weren't here? As the Jews were moving in,
originally it was Hungarian, from Hungarian in 1956, you got a fair amount of Hungarian, but mainly it was Portuguese, a lot of Portuguese people, next door neighbor, a husband is Portuguese, wife is Slovenian, and what you get, when we first moved in, we saw a lot of very old people, and they died, I would say about 7 or 8 people. But you also see here, as I said, my wife is a real estate agent, and I was curious when we moved here, being a real estate lawyer primarily, who our neighbors and what the constitution of this area was at that time, 1997. So Len got an assessment roll, so we could see who lived where. And when we looked at it, we could see a lot of Oriental people, Chinese, and even now, they're not noticeable. They don't take part in any of the activities. We know who they are. One son is a doctor, in fact, across the road. I when I moved in, I introduced myself. Eddie died. He was an engineer, actually, the father, but his son's a doctor and specialist, I think, in pediatrician.
So you're saying that
a lot of Chinese people in homes here, but they're quiet. You don't know.
So they're not out in the street and
they're not joining community activities. There are a fair amount of Orientals on the street. I mean, the street. But when I first moved here, I had a lot of law files, and the movers put them in the wrong house. The files on the veranda, a few doors away, with Chinese. And the young son, and they were a little angry at it. I don't blame them. And we moved it back into my house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember the son, his name, I chatted with him. He's 30 now, but his name is Nelson. I didn't forget it. So I was always kind to him. I see him on the subway. I take the TTC to work every morning.
And a lot of us who live in this neighborhood do.
Yeah, I take TTC to work. I get a lift home from the other lawyer in my office. But in the morning I take TTC, I take the streetcar at Harvard and Spadina up to the subway.
Yeah,
I have Lure and Spadina, go down to Osgood, get off at Osgood. Or sometimes when it's cold, I get off at St. Andrew, go on the path, like during the last few days.
So you've seen a lot of changes. When we're talking about changes to the street, you're talking about the population. What about the homes, the structures?
Well, these are beautiful old Victorian homes. They're really gorgeous. They have character. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have been renovated. I've been to a lot of these homes when there's an open house, and I've seen a lot of tremendous renovations. What I don't like, and what I do like, I'll tell you what I don't like, what's happened to a lot of these homes. They've hauled it up. I like a hallway. I like rooms. What they've done, they knocked out all the walls and make it a one sort of area. I don't like that. I like to see rooms. I have a dining room, I have a living room, I have a hallway leading to the kitchen, and I have a den. And I don't like a lot of the renovations when they knock out walls and make it
open concept.
Open concept. I don't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I sort of like walls. I just like it.
Delineated spaces.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe it's my obsessive.
What about the fronts of the houses?
Pardon?
The fronts of the houses.
They're quite nice. Look at my home. They're peaked. If you look at our home, take a look on the outside. We had it deliberately painted on the third. When we first bought the home, we could have opened the third floor. We don't have any reason to do that. One of our neighbors did. But if you look at the outside of our home, we hired a painter. There's flower plots to paint. If you look carefully, you'll see it. We also deliberately. I left out a very important part of Major Street. I got to tell you this story. That door that you opened up comes from 24 Major Street, my old house. Let me tell the story. We have a street park. We could park in the back. There's a public lane. And we even built interlocking. We got a big door. And I think occasionally we did park our car from the lane into our backyard, but we didn't like it. And so we have street parking. One day I'm looking for a parking spot, which is one of the problems living on Major Street is parking. And in this area, it's lack of parking. And that is a big problem here. And so one day I'm looking for parking space. I see a hoarding around my old house on Major Street. By that time, it was owned by the doctor's hospital. It was used as a nurse's residence. I see a hoarding around it.
A what?
A hoarding. Wood boarding. Hoarding.
Okay, okay.
Around that and the other homes around there. With Greenspoon Records, big sign, they're going to tear them down, all these homes now.
Oh, my God.
And so I phoned up Greenspoon Records next morning and said, I spoke to the secretary and I said, I live at my home at 24 Major Street. You're tearing down my old house. I want my door. I phoned up Greenspoon, and so I spoke to whoever, a woman, and I left her my name and number. And also I said to her, tell Mr. Greenspoon he's related to me, married my great uncle's daughter. So around 5 o'clock, I got a call from a man, no doubt Mr. Greenspoon himself. Mr. Silverman, the door is yours.
Oh,
you identify yourself as security. And so I got a dolly from our neighbor next door. My wife and I marched down Major Street to security guard and identified myself. And Lynn and I tried to lift the door. We couldn't, it was too heavy. So the security guard, big guy, I slipped him $10, and he helped us with the dolly. He lifted it onto the dolly. We put it to the side of our home, and we hired the same person who did our our mantelpiece to restain it. Len bought stained glass windows where they had ordinary windows, and we bought Weiser locks and hinges and remodeled it, reframed it, and there it is on Major Street from 20. You'll have to look at it.
Oh my God! But your timing was really lucky.
Yes.
Because, you know, months later it would have been destroyed.
Also, and gone. Related maybe after the Greens. I related through my mother to all the Wassermans, and the huge family through my mother's side, the Wassermans.
Oh, but that's got great such uncle. Importance five to great you. Uncle.
Pardon?
That's got such importance to you to have that door.
I had all these relatives of mine. On my mother's side, on my father's side, my father was the first silverman to be in from our family into Canada. After the Second World War, there were a few silvermans that survived the war. One being Jack Silverman, he was in a DP camp in Stuttgart, Germany, with a wife, two daughters. I think they're both born in Germany, and mother-in-law. My father brought him over. Jack Silverman was a lawyer in Poland. He tried to be a lawyer here, became a successful insurance agent. And his daughter, his older daughter, is a judge of the Supreme Court of Canada, Rosalie Silverman of Bella.
Oh, I'm Rosie.
Cousin.
Oh, my God.
And
I know
her
Rosie
lawyer.
Very well.
In fact, I'll be seeing her. And Tony, her sister, was in my home last Sunday.
And I know Tony. In fact, I called your home last week and Tony had just left.
I told you that, yeah. So I'm related to them. And another Silverman with Hillary's drugstore, Hillary Silverman, on Dundas and Barbara. And
I knew
family.
Their mother very well, too. Huh? I knew their mother, Fanny.
Fanny.
Yeah, and she was a good real estate agent.
And handling their estate.
Yeah.
Real estate, yeah. I was their lawyer all the way. I've been a family lawyer. It's all interconnected. Jack Silverman gave the keynote speech at our wedding.
But so you're immigrants, and you've all done really well. I mean, it was clear to you that you were intelligent and you were going to...
Yeah, we worked very hard, though.
Yeah,
now, when
sure.
I was brought up on Major Street, I was either had to be a lawyer or a doctor. We were, my mother especially. The only disappointment was my brother. My brother is a Hasidic Lubavitch rabbi in Miami, Florida. And my brother is 7 years younger than me. He's the youngest. I remember the teacher saying when he was taking bar mitzvah classes, I'm not responsible for your son, he's not studying, he's 12 years old, he won't have his bar mitzvah, won't know what he's doing. But then he turned around completely, 100% turnaround, became ultra religious. And then one day after bar mitzvah, he announces to the family, I want to be a Lubavitcher rabbi. So my father got mad at him. You're going to be poor, Moishi, you're going to be poor all your life, you can be anything, he's very smart. But my mother loved it. I remember she used to say, my son the lawyer, my son the rabbi. Uh-huh. You know, the shtetl Jew.
Parents were different that way. Your mother was the one who had a bigger connection.
My father was a communist atheist. My grandfather was so religious, we don't have a picture of him. But the new religion in those days was communism. That was the religion of the Jews in Poland.
So your father was a communist agent.
At the time. He became a very good Catholic. But he's always an atheist.
But your mother was observant.
No, it wasn't. She wasn't observant at all. I thought she was. She was what was called, I didn't know that until I read the book Never Again by Meir Kahane. He had a chapter called The Kosher Jew. He sort of delineated certain types of Jews. One was called the Kosher Jew, and that was my mother. Her religion was kosher. And don't Essen is kind of chazer. Ham to Shabbos, daf Essen, daf Essen, daf Essen. So she spent her life cooking and keeping kosher. Still remember telling my older sister, who's almost 7 years older than me, and then going out with her boyfriend, who they married at 19, Essen ist kein Chazerfleisch. But they're going to a Chinese restaurant. It was common then. A lot of Jewish people, kids and young people, like to go to a Chinese restaurant and eat pig food. And my mother, I still remember my mother said, Essen ist kein Hasserfleisch.
Jews don't eat pork. I just want to say that for the report.
Oh, yeah. And I don't eat pork. We keep kosher in this home. So I'm a kosher Jew, but I'm also an atheist.
So you're like your mother. You're like your mother and your father.
Intellectually. But I'm very, very Jewish, the core of my being. But But I can't see some God up there. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I have a background in evolution, and I took Near East literature. I've written papers 50 years ago on the concept of God and Judaism. I've studied the Dead Sea Scrolls. I studied Judaism quite thoroughly.
You're knowledgeable.
I'm very knowledgeable. Yeah, I've read all the books in psychology and Judaism and everything, and lots of books. One of the two doctors wrote a book on atheism. One is sort of religious, and the other doctor.
Were you aware of a variety of languages?
Yes.
Early on, or what?
Oh, very much. Yiddish was the first language I knew.
Oh, you spoke Yiddish.
My parents spoke Yiddish.
No,
I didn't speak. I spoke English to them. They spoke Yiddish to me.
Okay.
But I understand Yiddish better than French. My wife is Parisian French Jew.
Yeah.
And when my wife Len came to Canada, she was 17 years old. I was 22, and I had 5 years of high school French. I took French first year University College, but I only got a C in it. So I dropped it after first year, and I forgot most of my friend. So, and Alain didn't know English well at all. She had taken German in Paris. And so she had never taken English, but she sort of picked up a bit. So when she came to Canada, we spoke three languages, but mainly Yiddish. Her Yiddish is quite good. So we were able to communicate mainly in Yiddish and not English and French, universal language among Jews.
And when did you start having your family?
I was married in 1963. But thank God to birth control. I was just so young. I wanted to start my law practice. 6 years later, we had our first daughter, who's a lawyer, in 1969, 6 years after her marriage.
And what language did you speak?
English. But Len only spoke French to our children. She still speaks French. We listen to our kids are fairly bilingual.
Oh, so she spoke French. Did they respond in French or in
no,
English?
They spoke in English. But my youngest son, I have two daughters and a son. My son is 30 now. When he graduated from Ryerson, he got a job telling building marketing. Because he was able to speak French, he was able to, he's a troubleshooter, I guess, marketing town. So he was able to speak French to these people. So my kids can speak French quite well.
That was so smart of it, Lynn, to speak French to them.
Yeah,
because, of course, they learned English on the
street. Oh, yeah, they pick it everywhere. It's right about it.
Fabulous.
But she spoke French. And if you listen, you'll hear her speaking only French to my granddaughter.
That's fabulous.
And so they're quite fluent in French, which is helpful, let's face it. They're lucky, these kids. My older daughter is a lawyer with the Department of Justice and Immigration, has a master law degree. She's divorced, married a lawyer in Winnipeg, divorced, has two children.
She
lives in Toronto now. She moved 2 years ago. She'll be here soon. She has a new boyfriend in Montreal. She has a grandson who just turned 10 on Friday. Yesterday was his 10th birthday. Our granddaughter's 13.
Did she have a bat mitzvah?
She had it in Winnipeg last year. We were at the Fort Garry Hotel in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
We used to go to Winnipeg.
When you were a child, were you aware of anybody working at home, what we call cottage industry?
Not at all. It didn't. I don't think it existed. I don't remember anyone working at home at all. No, they
were. And do you remember from your cohort, were there any mothers who were working outside the home?
No, I don't remember any mothers working. No.
Yeah.
They all were home.
Yeah. Well, Daddy. For our generation, a lot of mothers did stay home.
I don't remember anyone ever. No, my mother had four kids and working. She was working, taking care of the kid.
Yeah.
I was cooking.
Yeah, right.
We had tender house. She used to scrub the floors and did all the hard work. We had no clean one.
When I've spoken to people on Major Street, I'm speaking to people in all of Harbord Village, but when I speak to people on Major Street, they seem to have a real love for Major Street.
Yes. Read the article that came out on Remembrance Day in the Toronto Star. I should have brought it with me. It's about the war heroes, Jewish soldiers who died from Major Street in the Second World War.
You know, we're doing a name-laning.
Yeah, I know you.
Lane naming.
Yeah, well, the two. One was Lackey, my next door neighbor.
Yeah.
When I first moved here, Louis Lackey, I know he's dead now.
And I think it was his daughter Rose who gave him your name.
Rose Rodriguez.
She gave him your name.
And then another one is Chorus from the Harvard Bakery, Kosovo.
Yeah.
I noticed that one name they want is David French. David French went to high school with me. He's dead now. He was a writer, a playwright for Newfoundland. And he did very well in school, and he criticized my poem. When I was published at Harvard Review, he said, "Don't use doth. I wrote a sonnet, 14 line. The cynic doth sit on a seat on high and skeptically scorns the world's ways." He didn't like the word doth. He said, "Does." He used a modern language. He's being critical. He did better than me in school. He's brilliant. He was a playwright. And I noticed that one of the names they want to name is David French. Last time I saw David French, the Tarragon Theater, one of his plays, and I sort of went up to him and chatted.
So it seems to me there were a lot of very successful people in your class from Harvard. Lansdowne and from Harvard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we had, well, a couple of years ahead of me. Well, Stephen Lewis was a couple of years ahead of me at Harvard. He was 24. It's such a Jewish name.
Yeah. What about, I want to talk a little bit about the roads, the sidewalks, and the lanes. You mentioned that you walked to school through the lanes.
Yes, I did. They were used very much.
In what ways?
Well, there's a passageway to walk through. And when I was a kid with some other kids on Major Street, we used to go in the back in the spring, take lilacs, cut the lilacs, and try to sell them along the street. I just want to finish my beer. Yeah, so we had lilacs, and they had beautiful lilacs along through the lanes, and they still do if you go through the lanes at the back. And we cut them and try it for our own time, and also we're trying to sell them.
I'm just turning it off for a minute. So you're saying that the lanes were used for walking through, yeah, and for
I remember very years ago, but many, many years ago, I remember Mr. Krigman had a horse. I remember horse and the Iceman cometh, like ice. I remember horses even. And,
so the horses with wagons,
yeah, with
and,
wagons,
they, were, and right. They were selling ice.
The back, yeah, and there was ice, and I know Mr. Krigman, the old man, I don't know what he sold. The old rag dealer, the Jewish, well, there were Jewish rag dealers, they call them.
So rag dealers, they would just take old clothes and then sell them by the pound?
I don't know how they sold them.
Yeah.
But I remember the Iceman, even the milkman, delivering milk with a horse and buggy way back in the 1940s.
And did they go on the streets or the lanes or both?
Well, they went both. I think Krigman had a stable. Originally, these lanes were used for horses, and they were stables.
Where were the stables?
Well, yeah, they instead of garages, they were stables.
Wow.
Some of these places were originally stables, not for garages.
So some of your neighbors had horses.
Yeah, well, way back then, yeah.
Any other animals that you're some of your neighbors
had? I had a dog, a pet as a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a cat called Puskunyak, which is Polish.
I know Puskunyak.
My mother called the cat Puskunyak.
Oh,
we had a cat.
Yeah.
And she liked it and called the cat Puskunyak, yeah. Polish for ugly one.
Yeah, I grew up with that word in my life.
Oh, absolutely. So we had a cat and I had a dog. We had pets, yes.
And what about heating the homes?
I remember that. Originally we had coal furnace. Remember my dad? Then eventually got oil.
So that came through the lane also?
Oh, I don't know where the coal came. I have no memory.
But they had to send it down
the chute. Yeah, that's right. It had to go. That's right. We had a semi-detached home. It went through the chute from either side, I think. But I don't have a good memory of that. Because we had an oil furnace when I was younger. But I remember my father feeding the fire with coal.
Any comments about the front, the front porches, the sidewalks?
We had a nice porch, and I'm fussy about porches. If you look at this house, I have a porch with a rocking chair on it.
I saw that.
And that's where my firewood is, but I'm rid of it, running none of it. The porch is very important on Major Street. A lot of people, most people had porches. We sat on during the summer in warm weather.
So people congregated in the front of their homes.
Very much so.
So it was a social place.
Very social,
yeah.
I love the porch, my old house.
Is it used as much now?
I don't think so. I'm probably the only one. I bought a rocking chair. When we first moved here, we had a nice porch on Walmer Road. And we bought two beautiful rocking wooden. We kind of, Lynn and I sort of put stained wood stain on with things. Ordinary wood, we put certain dark stain on it. We moved to from Walmer Road to Major Street. We had two beautiful rocking chairs. Then an old woman who has since died on Major Street down the street said, "You shouldn't leave those rocking chairs. Someone's going to steal them."
I was wondering about that.
They were stolen.
Yeah,
I was furious. All right.
That's
so I bought
really,
another one.
I
bought an antique one, but no, I had a chain on my rocking chair. I got a few, but I gave up on it. I bought a chain, and we had it for a number of years, and the one we have right now.
No, but nobody stole.
No, so I take the chain off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a chain literally with a lock.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after you had two of them stolen, no wonder.
Yeah.
What about the back gardens? How were they used? How did your
My mother was an amateur, she liked to plant vegetables. I know when I can't remember so much on Major Street. I know when we moved to Hillmount, she had a very large lot and she liked to plant. But at the back of our home, I don't remember. We had a garage there. My father never drove there. And then I think we had a garage, but I don't remember much about the backyard at all, frankly.
So could I assume then that you didn't use it much?
No, we didn't use the backyard.
Yeah, so you
no memory at all.
Okay, so it sounds as if you didn't use the back very much.
No,
but you congregated
the front.
Front.
First of all, the lane only didn't end at our home. I don't think we had a lane right at our home. I think it ended at the house next to it.
Yeah,
so we didn't have direct.
So it wasn't
a
through lane.
It was not a through lane.
Yeah.
One on the side. We lived on 124, the other side. It was not a through lane.
And what about?
You're leaving another son.
This is so wonderful since you lived here as a child and now you're back. How would you talk about safety and security then and now?
I never felt insecure when I lived at 24 Major Street. Never entered my mind.
Did your family lock the doors?
Don't remember. We had a lock, but I never felt any insecure at all.
Yeah.
And now I don't feel very much insecure. Our neighbors are very good people. We know most of our neighbors because for instance, next Wednesday we're going to Gus Sinclair's annual Robbie Burns Day.
All right.
So we're always invited, and we're invited again.
And then I know he goes to Free Times Cafe, and they perform.
Yeah, well,
there.
I've been there many times.
Yeah, I might go this.
Well, I know Judy Perley quite well.
Oh,
as
yeah,
a
Judy.
Lawyer,
right?
Not quite her lawyer, but she bought the on Eglinton when she lived above the building for my client. And I was a lawyer on that. Sale, and I know Judy from way, way back.
Well, they own Pearlie's Maps.
Yeah, her father.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Right.
In fact, we ate there recently. We eat there.
I like it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we've been there on Sunday brunch.
You're saying that as a child you felt safe, and it's your impression that it's still
safe.
A safe neighborhood
very,
now.
It's a terrific neighborhood. People are very good people.
Yeah.
I like everyone on the street.
Well, and you mentioned Mort Greenberg, you talked about Gus. Mm. So it sounds like a friendly place and a place.
Very friendly, it's sort of friendly. You see it on Halloween. You sort of don't know, but you sort of chat when you see them doling out the goodies to the kids with their parents.
So people are friendly with the kids.
Yeah, they're very good people. I don't dislike anyone.
Yeah,
in fact, just the opposite. There's some fairly well-known people on the street. One is Peter Murphy of CTV, and his wife Winona. They live about three doors away, and they have they're the ones who raised the third floor. They got a third floor. I've never been in their home. They're nice people, and then people across it's a contractor, Bryn. He's been here, and Susan, and a member of our synagogue was gay, Slavin. I think his name is Savin, S-A-V-I-N. I don't know his first name. Works in back Montreal. He was a member of our synagogue.
Do you have air conditioning in your home?
Oh yes.
And when did that come in?
Before we bought it. I said this home was fairly modernized by Tony Annos. It was fairly, we have a vacuum system.
Oh, a central vacuum.
Yeah, we have that. We have air conditioning.
What about garbage collection? Do you remember what it was like when you were here as a child?
No, I don't remember. I don't remember any problem, I guess. I just had no memory of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, I guess someone said that.
Did anybody then or now have maids living in the home?
Sorry,
maids or cleaning ladies?
No. My mother works. No. I have no memory of any maids on Major Street or any cleaning. The woman works very hard. My mother's an extraordinarily hard worker. And she cleans. She's very clean.
What about, this might sound coming out of left side, dating then and dating now, dating in this neighborhood.
Okay, let me tell you a story about me dating, okay? When I was in fourth year high school, I worked at a garden theater at college, a little bit on the north side of College Street, east of Major Street, called the Garden Theater, maybe you remember it. Anyhow, I worked there as an usher, and part at nighttime while I was still going to during the school term, I worked. I guess I was smart enough to do both. Anyhow, there was a confectionery young woman, I won't mention her name, Jewish, from Israel. She wasn't that good looking, she's smart. And so on the prom, when we finished, I think, grade 13, I took her out to the prom at Harvard Collegiate, dated her. And then we went to a restaurant afterwards, and we started talking. And I remember she started talking about, I don't know how we got on the subject, of kosher lobster and shrimp. And would you believe I didn't know what she was talking about? Because I was left such a sheltered life as a child. Yeah. The only restaurants were the, were the deli restaurants on College Street. One was Wilts. Kapansky, remember? I already told him
there
about
it. There was some
on
Spadina, too.
Yeah, and yeah. Becker's and Switzer's. And yeah. I didn't go to Schwab's.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's something that Wilts or something on the north side. Wolf's or something. So I ate those. I love going by myself, eating without my mother around. I get like pastrami and that sort of food. But when this, on the going back to the dating, I took her out on a date. Actually, I had no interest in her. I just dated her because I didn't have anyone else to date. And so she's talking about, that's how I learned what shrimp was. I had no idea.
Oh.
I had the slight idea what she's talking about. Because I always kept, you know, kosher, and I led a very strict Jewish life. Never went far out of this neighborhood. And so I just didn't know. But it brings about both kosherness is very important in my life in that I was astounded. My father had kidney stone problems, so I can't remember whether it was before or after my bar mitzvah, I visited my father in the afternoon at the hospital, at Toronto General Hospital, after his kidney operation. I went by myself, walked from Major Street. And there I see my father eating bacon, almost died. My father was so embarrassed.
Oh.
And here, there's the idol of my destroyed eating bacon. You know, I'm so maniacal about pig food that on an airplane when I smell bacon, I get nauseous. I'm so crazy about it.
So, you have a kosher home. Are you kosher outside?
No. But I don't mind. I am somewhat
kosher style.
Would you believe that I really would not eat any meat unless it was kosher until I was in my mid-30s?
Uh-huh.
I eat fish and mushroom almonds.
So you can see how
it's so deep embedded.
How we internalize those things.
Oh yeah, very embedded
in me.
Well, when I first married Elaine, she came from a background that didn't keep kosher, and I said to Elaine when we first got married in 1963, and we rented an apartment on 88 Bernarda, I have to have separate plates. And I have to keep kosher. We bought our meat at Greenspan's on Brunswick and College, kosher food, and it all kosher. I kept kosher. Yeah. And I still come like, oh, I got separate place.
Yeah. So
even
tell
now.
You mentioned Greens or whatever. Would you talk to me about the stores? I know that there were stores on Harvard.
Yes.
And
I don't remember so much about Harvard, more College, because
okay.
I was in College.
So tell me.
I've never heard of Bakery very well.
Yeah, so tell me about the stores on College
okay.
as they were in your childhood.
Okay. Yeah. The pharmacist at the corner of College and Major Street on the southeast corner, if I remember, it was Rothbart's pharmacist, and they sold all sorts of things. There was a convenience store owned by, I can't remember his name, on the north side, right next to a few doors on the north side, just a little bit west of Major Street, on the corner of Major, on north. West Corner Major and College was a gasoline station. I remember as a child, I also grew up with a sort of famous person. He's a very close friend of mine on Major Street, Larry Greenstein. He changed his name to Larry Green. Larry Green was on City TV, had his own jazz show.
Wow.
And then he, for a number of years, he was on the jazz station 91.1. But he was a very close friend of mine when we grew up on Major Street. And then what happened, he moved away, like all of the Jews, and I lost track of him. Then one day, my wife and I, we liked going out a lot at the time, and I think I forget, we went to the El Macambo, that college in Spadina. We went, there was a famous singer, but it was filled up, sold out. We went downstairs, and there was the Down Charles Blues Band. There I see Larry Greenstein. I recognized him from television. He had a beard at the time. So I went up to him and reintroduced myself. Then we had dinner at each other's home. And he gave us a very good client. So I got to know Larry Greenstein from Major Street, but he's Larry Green. He became somewhat famous. He always loved music as a child. Going back to the stores, there was the variety store owned by a Jewish man. Where I took my haircut on College, on Northside Hall. I took my hair at Gerstein's. And on College in Robert, it was a hardware store called Gerstein's Hardware Store. Now, whether they're brothers or not, my barber's Gerstein, barber is Gerstein. That's where Judy Pearlie's Freetown Cafe. One of the two she bought out the next building. It was the other one next to was the my barber. It was a hardware store, a barber store. There were some kosher restaurants, I said, on Northside. Becker's was on the south side.
So it was very Jewish. The stores were owned by Jewish people.
Even the gasoline station was owned by Jewish people. I forget, a fireman, I think, was the name. And so I remember, it was so Jewish. I mean, even when I went to University College, it was a lot of Jewish people. Even U of T Law School, the first year, when I said that we started with about 100 kids, so one-third failed or dropped out. And what were left, one-third of our class in 19, the class that graduated in 19, one-third were Jewish. It was such a Jewish influence. They just didn't. The only one who failed U of T Law that was Jewish was a guy named Perry Cohen. He became a rabbi from Montreal. No, these kids were very bright. A lot of them were wealthy from Forest Hill.
Yeah.
They came from a wealthy background, most of them, except one maybe. No, the smartest one was a guy named Martin Toplitzky. He's a labor lawyer, and he's terrific. And I remember at U of T Law, first year law, we had Dean Wright, the taught us torts, a dean, a very rough guy. And Martin Toplitzky never wore a tie, and you had to wear a jacket and a tie.
That was demanded for
students.
Yeah,
we had to. And those days, you were dressed well as a student.
So they wanted you to dress like a lawyer, even as you were a law student.
Yeah, and so Martin never wore it. He sat behind me. And so Dean Wright, at the beginning of the class, the first few months, well, maybe a month went through, he said, you don't come to my class. He points out to Martin, Martin Toplitzky, you don't come to my class, you don't wear a tie and a jacket. I don't think he ever showed up again, but he won the gold medal in torts. But so these kids are really smart. A number of them came from Harvard Collegiate. My ex-partner, Alan Posner, Husky Goldkind, and Herbie Abramowitz. We had a number from Harvard Collegiate entered U of T Law.
Well, and Alan Borovoy, but he was older.
He was a few years older than me.
But 9 years older, in fact. Yeah.
That talks, you want to talk about politics? First of all, I hate the left wing. I was a liberal. I've been liberal all my life. I participated in the liberal parliament. I was a liberal member of parliament, liberal in the bottom. I'm very active in University of Toronto in politics. I was one of the beginners of the combined university campaign for nuclear disarmament, although I was a liberal type. I hated the left-wing shitheads, sanctimonious left-wing shitheads, who came from wealthy Jewish families. I never wanted to drive you home from Mount of Parliament for us. They had this guilt complex, but I believe in the middle road, in media race, the middle way. I don't like left-wing, I don't like right-wing, I like the moderation and media. But going back to your question about stores along there, they were all Jewish as far as I know. I don't know of any non-Jewish store, frankly. They're all Jewish. I have no memory of a non-Jewish store.
and that really talks about the changes that have occurred.
Oh, no,
because the Jewish stores are gone.
They're all
gone. When I think of the
except
restaurant.
Except for Judy Perlitz. And Kaplansky opened up.
Right.
Yeah, he's
but
gone
he just
back.
Opened up a few years ago.
Yeah,
can you think of anything about the stores either on Harvard or Bloor, or were you really so close to college that that's what where your life
I spent
was?
Most of my time. I never went far from my home.
Yeah.
I went to Bloor to the Uptown Theater. The theaters I went, the movie theaters. On the south, on College, there are three movie theaters. The Playhouse. That's my voice.
Yeah.
The Playhouse, the Garden Theater, and the Bellevue Theater.
All
on the north side on College. So I used to go to movies a lot. And when I was a kid, my dad or someone gave me 10 cents and go on the afternoon matinee with my sister, honey.
So that was a popular activity,
going to the movie theaters. Yeah, then when television came in, we had no television on Major Street for, I don't know if we had a television on Major Street, but my great uncle and great aunt did on Augusta, 100 Augusta Avenue, just down the street. So I used to go hand in hand with my sister, younger, so she was 16 months younger than me, watch Hobble on Cast in the afternoon on their television set. And I don't know if we ever had a television set on Major Street. I know later on we did, but I don't have any memory of television. I don't think we did. We were so, as I said, we were poor on Major Street.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't know any television.
Couldn't you talk a little bit about the effect of the university on our neighborhood and Kensington Market on our neighborhood?
Okay. Talk about the University of Toronto. I mean, I have no memory when I was a child growing up on Major the University, but now living here, it's very a tremendous influence. The University of Toronto, a lot of these houses that are not well maintained on Major Street are rented homes to students. You often notice that when it snows and no one's shoveling the snow or the gardens aren't maintained. Yeah.
So the houses that are neglected,
they're not well maintained.
Yeah.
And they're rented. A lot of them are rentals. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I don't remember the influence of U of T, but as I lived for the last 15 years, almost 15 years, on 157 major.
Yeah.
The University of Toronto is very influential. Of course, I'm a graduate, double graduate, and they built the residences. You see a lot of students here. A lot of parking spaces, too, by the way.
Right. Those who don't live here also take up parking spaces.
Yeah, they don't. Well, you see, during the Christmas holiday, they have a lot of space.
Yeah.
They have money, I guess, some, and they have their cars.
But that's an intrusion for those of you who live here.
You're right.
Because they use your spaces.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. True. What about Kensington Market, its influence?
I love Kensington Market.
Yeah.
We buy our coffee beans there. In fact, I'll go there probably tomorrow because I've got to buy more coffee. We grind our own coffee, but in the office, we have them ground there, and I take it to the office. It's easy to buy a coffee bean. And so we shop there. It's very nice. It's somewhat chaotic. What I don't like about it is there's too many crazy people around, druggies and potheads, and who knows what.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
And they are there. They are there.
Oh, yeah. We know it. And sometimes a nice day, like Amadeus outside the Portuguese restaurant on the corner of Augusta and Denison overlooking the park outside. That's nice. There's another new restaurant there that started. The owner is a Loa. We were there, opened the new restaurant. They took over La Palette. La Palette. Yeah, so they opened up recently.
Okay, I see.
What I like about Harvard Street, though, now are the great. We go to a lot of restaurants.
On Harvard.
The restaurants in Harvard are terrific. Messes.
Yeah.
The one we go to that a lot. Momo is across the road. I'm a lawyer for Momo, by the way.
They're very nice.
Yeah, he's very good. And the sushi restaurant we go to on
Akai,
Major.
The Akai, yeah.
Akai, and we go there. And go to the Wall Cave, okay, very expensive, however. Yeah. We like the Boulevard Cafe, go there.
Yeah,
And the other one we go to, although they're renovating Dessert Trend.
Yeah, they're doing major renovations. So you really enjoy the restaurants around here?
Yeah, we spend a lot of money on restaurants.
Yeah.
And we always drink wine with them, yeah.
Do you have any memories of fighting the Spadina Expressway?
Oh, do I ever?
Yeah.
Well, this had to do with Walmart when I lived in Walmart. We lived in Walmart for 18 years. And a lot of people who owned properties in Walmart Road were university professors. Of course, before Walmart became very expensive, the homes are beautiful and big. And yes, there was a tremendous fight about the Spadina Expressway. The Annex people, and I guess here too, were against it. I was in favor of it.
Oh, were you?
Yes,
oh.
I wanted it. I think it was a horrible mistake not building it.
but you were obviously in the minority at that time.
Yes, I'm very much in the minority. I got mad at them because I think we needed it. We still need it. It's a mess. The whole.
So that was a hard time for you.
Yeah, but I oppose the people who, they were all sanctimonious, left-wing, S-H-I-T-H. I happened to be indirectly related at that time to the head of the City of Toronto Trans through my brother-in-law Roy Agar, married to my sister Dr. Agar. His uncle, I forget his name, Cass. His name is Cass, C-A-S-S. I forget his first name. Was the head of the transport, and I think on Seder song we used to Seder.
Yeah.
He talked about it. He was an engineer and how it was important. I was impressed, and I think it's a scoop bottleneck and you're going down. You ends at Eglin, you should go all the way. Followed through.
Yeah. What about any thoughts about Rochdale? Do you remember?
Yeah, very well.
What?
Again, I hated it because it was a violation of law. I like law and order. It went out of control. Students running their own show, potheads, people committing. I hated it. I'm a law and order man. I like order. Mm-hmm. I hated the left wing, the 60s, the left wing, the whole scene. I hated it. I believe I don't believe in tearing up schools, like when we were with, in Montreal. The name, but they smashing computer, whatever. Just that disruly lack of order and respect.
Yeah, yeah.
I hated it. Yeah, I was not like. I was not part of that scene. I disliked it. Not everyone.
Yeah.
I'm in the 60s.
Some people are romantic about it. Last thing I want to ask is, I have two more questions. What is? Do you remember the end of World War II?
Yes.
What do you?
One
remember?
Of my first memories. I guess is, I don't know. I never somehow have a memory on Major Street. Where I lived around 20, it was a rainy day, and magazines or paper coming from airplane down onto the street. And I don't know what it was about or what, picking up some magazine or something.
And that was?
Well, yeah, and I remember, as I said, immediately after the war, sending packages to Paris, helping them. Maybe I was probably right out. Well, actually, Paris was liberated during the war. My wife is born January the 2nd, 1945. She's born in Paris. The war in Europe didn't end until May of 1945. That's my daughter. What else do I see? All right, what time is it?
Yeah, no, we'll end.
All right. Okay.
What I want to ask you, is when you knew, when you agreed to speak to me, did you have any thoughts about what we might talk about that we have not touched on in terms of changes that have happened in this neighborhood?
I didn't think it would change. Well, the main change is the fact it's not Jewish, in my view, is the tremendous change in the fact of non-Jews being here, although a lot more Jewish professionals are coming in, which I like. I'm very, very Jewish, and we're members in the River Synagogue.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
We've been there members for years. When we lived on Hillhurst, we lived there for 7 years. We're members of Sher Shemayim Synagogue. Mm-hmm. Then we moved to Walnut Road, and we used to go to some events at the River, and we became members years ago. Our son was bar mitzvah there, our daughter was Ofruf there.
Oh,
so we've been
yeah.
members for maybe up to 20 years, maybe.
Yeah.
We're old time members.
Yeah.
The River. And so, I'll be at the synagogue tomorrow, 9 o'clock, volunteer on the minyan. So once every 5 Sundays I go there, I'll be there
tomorrow. You might occasionally see my son and daughter-in-law and my grandson.
Who's that?
Marsha Beck, Misha Levine, and Dove, my little red-headed grandson.
You know
with glasses. He's 12.
Oh, uh-huh. 1 second.
Yeah.
Your son is a lawyer, doctor?
He was a lawyer, he became a teacher.
Right, he went to school with Nadine, my daughter.
Jesus,
they
Lord.
Went to Bialik.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All our kids went to Bialik.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the little boy is very sweet.
Yeah.
He loves Sequoia.
Oh, my goodness.
How old's the boy?
He'll be 12 next month.
Oh,
he's at the Paul Penna.
Yeah,
school.
Paul Penna. Oh,
Because I've seen him. I was there. Yeah,
you know who they are.
I know you.
Yeah,
he says, you're from the synagogue.
Yeah.
Okay.
There quite a bit.
I'm going to turn this off. Before I turn it off, I just want to say, this was wonderful.
My sister Francis knows more.
Well, I'm going to phone her and I'll visit her.
Yeah.
But this was interesting and very rich in information. So a huge thank you.
I'll just show you the part of her home in the back.
Thank you. I'm coming.